Dear good people of Cornelia Street Cafe, I think I should explain a few things about what happened during dinner at your restaurant last week. When we first arrived, and my friend's 5-year-old son went running up to the maitre d', shouting, "I want cupcakes!" in that growly voice, it's possible you took this as some sort of juvenile code. But likely you realized by the 5th or 6th time he said it, I know I certainly did, that no, the boy wanted cupcakes. When he and his mother then left the restaurant to go on a cupcake-fetching errand, that was an ingenious idea, by the way, about cutting a slice of cake in a circular shape, but the young aren't easily fooled, and I proceeded to make a call on my cell phone, I thought this was simply a clever use of my time. I was in no way trying to be antagonistic or antisocial. I should explain that when I'm on the phone with my sister and we utter such phrases as "bite me" or "oh yeah, you like that," we don't mean it in the literal sense. This is simply the way we talk to each other. This sister lives in L.A., so anyway, it would be difficult for her to bite me, even if I wanted her to. When my friend and her son returned to the table with the bag of cupcakes and proceeded to eat them, and you had to ask them to leave, we understood. You can't have people bringing in their own food and eating it at your tables. What if everyone did that? What would you be? Not a restaurant. More like a cheap cupcake motel. So they left again, and this time I knew better than to talk on my cell, especially since you had that pretty waitress come over and hold up the picture with the phone with the verboten line through it. Although, to be honest, I'm not sure I needed the visual, since the man at the table next to me, whose name was Jeff, I would later learn, had already asked me to please get off the phone. And even though I said, "Is it really that much different from talking to a person?" after a farewell "bite me" to my sister, I did. Was anyone more surprised than I when, after my friend and her son returned, he proceeded to do some sort of lying down jumping jacks on the floor? I have no children of my own, so I'm not entirely up to speed on the whole blood sugar thing. It made sense for the waitress to ask him to please not lie on the floor just then, since the restaurant was really crowded, and I think when my friend suggested that she could always just step around him, the friend was really being more playful than anything else. Talk about playful! Just fill a 5-year-old up with cupcakes! When he was hiding under the table, and then popping up into my friend's lap and laughing hysterically, then popping up into my lap and laughing hysterically, it was sweet of the maitre d' to bring over that basket of crayons. The crayons alone would have moved me, but the basket. I think when the boy began snapping them in half, he was only trying to multiply their beauty. And you have to admit, a boy who's snapping crayons is a stationary boy. I can't say I know what that song was that he'd begun to sing. It must be something he learned on the internet. Although the chorus did sound like, the percolator doesn't love me, I suspect we're missing something. When the nice waitress came back over to ask that he use his quiet voice, and Jeff added quite audibly, "for fuck's sake," and the maitre d' came over to rescue the basket of crayons, I thought we were all still friends. I had no more way than you of knowing that what would come next would be the flying wine. I say flying wine rather than spilled wine, because in case you failed to notice, after the child's elbow hit it, I actually caught the wine glass mid-vector. And this after several glasses of wine myself. The fact that I was incapable of catching the wine that had been launched is more a fault of physics. So there's our friend Jeff, who'd asked me to get off the phone, now covered in Cabernet. I understand that he was upset about this, but really, is it our fault he'd decided to wear his new Hugo Boss outfit that day? Is it our fault he had on so many layers of expensive clothing when in fact it was not all that cold outside, and certainly not that cold in the restaurant? Heck, at my table, we all now had wine in our laps, on our plates, and in our hair, yet you didn't hear us complaining. I believe it was around this time that the strap of my dress snapped. I considered this to be divine irony, since the short story I'd read on stage earlier had been told by a protagonist who's three quarters naked the whole time. But I guess one woman's divine irony is another's indecent exposure. Well, believe you me, I wanted to get that strap back to working every bit as much as you did. Do you know how hard it is to cut chicken while simultaneously holding up your dress? And when I said, "What the hell kind of restaurant doesn't have safety pins?" in that voice and made that face, I was assuming you knew me well enough by then to understand the spirit in which it was intended. When the check came and I didn't have enough money in my wallet to pay it, I expected you would understand. I mean, it's one thing to give performers a 20% discount if they pay in cash. It's quite another to expect them to walk around with that kind of cabbage in their purses. I was surprised when you let me leave the restaurant without leaving any collateral, but perhaps you were simply too profoundly happy to see me go. And finally, when I returned and said, "I'm taking the $1.75 that ATM charged me out of your tip," I meant it as a joke. With kind regards, Alethea.